What's up, guys? Matt Matthews here with Real Talk with Matt Matthews podcast. This is episode number 3. And today, this is something that kind of hits really home with me and kind of with my life and how things have gone for me in the past. And today, I have a really incredible woman on the phone with us. Her name is Rose, and she is an incredible business owner. But her story didn't always start out as a wonderful business owner. She kind of had a tough story, kind of like I did. So I really want you to listen and kind of understand the things that she's going to say and talk about today so that you can maybe get a little bit of inspiration from that. So Rose, thank you so much for being on today's episode. I'm so excited to have you, and I'm so excited that you're willing to be real and vulnerable with us and share your story. So thank you so much for being on here.
Thank you so much for having me, Matt. I really appreciate it.
You are awesome. I've known you for a little bit now, and I love following you on social media, and I just love everything that you're doing with your business and inspiring people. So tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of how you got into starting your own business and kind of your background.
Awesome. So I want to talk a little bit about kind of things that I went through to get to the point where I'm at now, because like you said, it did not always kind of start out like this for me. There was a lot of my life where I actually had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know what I wanted to do. My childhood, I did not have, it wasn't like an absolutely terrible one. My parents got divorced just like a lot of other people go through when I was like 13. My dad had several affairs on my mom, which I feel like really affected me. And, you know, as a little girl, and my dad was an alcoholic. So I grew up, you know, in an alcoholic family, essentially. And when I was really young, in high school and everything, I really started kind of experimenting with alcohol and other drugs, and I feel like it just kind of happened to me really young, where I was going through so much with my parents and just trying to, like, you know, manage school and everything, and, you know, having those genes probably didn't help. So I pretty much early on, you know, really struggled with kind of just experimenting with too many different things. And then I ended up in a relationship. I started dating this guy when I was 17 years old, got completely codependent and even like really addicted to the relationship in a sense. He was older, and I went through 7 years of being with him, where I got called, I mean, it was a lot of emotional and like mental abuse. You know, if I wanted to go out with girlfriends, I was called a slut. He, you know, got to the point of like spitting in my face. Just really went through a lot with him. And when I was in my early to mid 20s, and I finally got up the courage to leave like the only thing that I had known, you know, at a young age. So I left that relationship, which just took like so much out of me. I like spiraled into like really bad addiction. You know, I felt like I couldn't really cope with kind of being alone at that point and like all the emotions. So I ended up going to treatment for the first time. And it really just started out with kind of, you know, a lot of alcohol, but like a lot of downers, if you think, for sure, to the amount. I liked to basically just sleep, and I wanted to like sleep the day away. I was super depressed. I had actually been hospitalized at that point, in a psychiatric hospital, and really just didn't want to live. So I went through kind of going to treatment, to rehab, like it had been twice. I couldn't stay sober. I started dabbling with more and more things because I don't, you know, as some of you may know, like, you know, especially as addicts, you can't go back and do the same thing because you have to take more and more to feel the same effect. So, you know, all of a sudden, before I knew it, I had really gotten into like a lot of like heavy duty pain pills, and was kind of I started even experimenting with heroin. So that was pretty scary for me because I never really expected myself to get to that point. So once I got to that point, you know, I had been to treatment twice. I woke up to, it was like six or seven, like firefighters and like paramedics that had climbed up on a ladder to get through my window to my house because my mom thought that I had killed myself, because I had just done so much heroin that I didn't wake up for really a while. So after that, I remember going home for Thanksgiving and I had no money. I had quit. I couldn't keep a job, you know? And, so it was kind of, I guess at that point, Matt, that I like really hit, you know, rock bottom as far as getting dabbling in with things that I never thought that I would get into, you know?
Right. Well, I know that you said you kind of hit on, you know, you kind of knew that you shouldn't be doing kind of these kind of things because they were in your genes, and people don't understand. And a lot of people don't get it, you know, that I struggled with, addiction and alcoholism and things like that. Not personally myself, but growing up in a family of alcoholics and drug addicts and things like that. And, you know, I always made the conscious effort and the decision growing up to not ever try drugs because I knew that it was in my DNA. And I knew that at any moment, if I tried them, I already had an addictive personality and I already had that gene that if I tried it, I would probably become addicted to it and I wouldn't be able to stop. And people don't understand. And so many people are just kind of ignorant when it comes to addiction. And they think that, oh, well, you don't just become addicted to it, or it's not, you know, something that it just runs in your family. And it does. You know, so many people are, you know, they do it because, well, their brother or their sister or their mother or their father did it, and they pass that gene on. And so they become, you know, addicts themselves. And it's not so much that you can't not do it, because I beat that and I didn't ever, you know, fall susceptible to that. But it is something that you have to really work on and notice and make a conscious effort and decision to know, hey, you know, like I already have this in me to become an addict. And how am I going to, you know, face that and break that cycle essentially and not do the same thing that my parents did or my sisters did or, you know, whatever the case may be. And it's not so much of a choice, I feel like. You know, addiction is very much a disease and it is something that overwhelms people. And, you know, it sounds like in your case, you really struggled with depression and kind of finding who you are. And, you know, when you kind of hit those parts in your life and you're really just kind of at a point where you don't know who you are and you're young and you're impressionable and you just don't really know where to go, you kind of just do anything to fit in and to feel good about yourself and to feel like you are worth it. Do you agree with that?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, I feel like that's what I spent like most of my kind of high school days. I was like going to college parties because I really didn't know like where I fit in. I was, you know, just trying to like hang out with the older kids and feeling lost, and like everything that you said about, you know, it is a disease. And I went through that, you know, because believe it or not, before I went to NA meetings, I was going to Al-Anon meetings, you know, for my dad. And it's like, it is something that you just have to be like completely cautious and just know that like, yeah, it is in your genes. And, you know, it's something that I really should have been way more aware of. And it's something that I want to be open and honest with about my children when they're ready, you know, older and ready for that conversation.
Absolutely. And, you know, I remember you said that you remember going to meetings with your dad. I remember going to meetings with my biological mom when I was little. Like she would take me to AA meetings with her. So I remember going to those. And, you know, it's hard, you know, especially when you feel like there's really nobody around you to listen, and there's nobody around you to talk to, and nobody just really understands you, and nobody's there to make you feel better about the situation, but you know that there's always that drug there that kind of gives you that high and it makes you feel better. And it, you know, in that moment in your time, it makes you feel like you're making the right decision by doing that. But what people don't understand is drugs don't give a shit about you. You know, like, they don't care who you are, how old you are, where you come from. Like, all they're ready to do and all they're going to do and all they try to do is destroy your lives. So what kind of happened after, you know, after they found you in your bedroom, after you had used a lot of heroin? What kind of happened after that? Were you continuing to use? Did you kind of like hit rock bottom then and know like, okay, this is crazy? What kind of happened after that?
So after I didn't go directly back, like right after that, I actually went, you know, it scared the shit out of me and I went home. It was actually right around Thanksgiving and I went home. And my mom, because she's been through this with me over and over again, and I have, like, I feel so bad for my mom now because just watching me and, like, you know, seeing me almost die, like, so many different times, especially being a mom now, it's, like, it's just, I don't know. I can't even talk about it without getting emotional, but, like, so I went home for Thanksgiving. She knew that something was going on. She kind of asked me how I was dealing with things because she could tell that I was on drugs. And at this point, she did not know that I was doing heroin. And I think as a mother, I don't know why, but people put this, and I mean, I get why. I don't know, like, it's just such a scary word and a scary drug for a lot of people. I think that it was a lot for my mom to take in. At first, I didn't want to tell her, you know, she kind of told me, well, I'm going to go get a drug test and you aren't welcome here. Like, you know, so all of those kind of like giving you ultimatums, those were tough. But for me, at this point, I had wrecked my car like so many different times. I had so many dents in my car from just being like blacked out or like completely out of it, stuff I didn't remember. You know, and I really, really wanted for the first time, like I wanted for myself, cause that's important. You have to want it for yourself, not do it for other people. Yeah. And I kept doing it for other people. So I had got to that point where like, I was tired of living that way because the main thing was like, no, I mean, I liked the high. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I still think about the high. I think most addicts do. But for me, I wanted to just like, I constantly felt on a day-to-day basis, like I'd be okay if I didn't wake up, from, you know, from doing the drugs. And I also, you know, when you get to that point of like doing so many drugs and drinking all the time, like it makes you feel worse. Like you wake up and like the shit that you were getting high over, like the day before, like it's 15 to 20 times worse, because that's just the way that our minds and what the drugs do and what the alcohol does.
Well, and you're not numb anymore.
No, you're not numb anymore. And you wake up and you're like sober as shit. And you're like, okay, these problems are still here. Like I need to deal with these problems, you know, like sober, because they're not going to go away. Drugs aren't going to make them go away. Alcohol is not going to make them go away. So for me, I don't know. I hit my rock bottom. And then I hit an even further rock bottom when I went to detox. And I had to detox and it sucked because heroin is one of the hardest things, to come off of. And, you know, coming off of it and going through withdrawals, like in a detox center, they don't give you anything. It's not like you're coming off alcohol to where you can have seizures and everything. So you're kind of shit out of luck. And I just remember being so miserable. And when I got out of treatment, my car was gone. My parents kind of stopped communicating with me and I didn't understand why at the time. So for me, like I said, I continued to hit like more of a bottom because they weren't doing it to hurt me. You know, at the time I felt like that because not having a car, I had no communication. I was like, what am I going to do? So attached to the detox center was like a homeless shelter, and you know, they couldn't essentially, like, they didn't want to help. They didn't want me to have a car when I got out of treatment, so I could just get in my car like I had done before and like drive to DC, which is where I was living around the time, and go pick up some more dope, you know? So it was like, I lived in a homeless shelter for over a month. I actually ended up, like, I had a really good sponsor. She kind of helped me. I mean, I ended up, like, it was freezing cold too, because obviously I got, you know, sober right after Thanksgiving. So I would walk to the bus stop. Like, in Northern Virginia, there's buses that take you places, and, you know, my sponsor would help me kind of pay just for a bus ride. I ended up getting a job working in a tax office, which is something I would never do typically, but I knew that I needed a job. So I lived in that homeless shelter. I had my shampoo and my conditioner that would get stolen from me, if, you know, just things that I was not used to, growing up, and really went through hell living in there, and walking to the bus stop, you know, when there's snow on the ground. I mean, I'd have to walk like pretty far on a day-to-day basis and go to this job that I hated. And I worked Monday through Sunday, like every single day, you know, and got enough money. And I started living in an Oxford house, and I lived in an Oxford house for months. And that's really kind of how my story, you know, evolved, in getting sober the last time. So obviously I don't want to go through that shit again. And that is kind of always in the back of my mind, you know, because of where I'm at today. And I know that I could go back there like super quick.
Right.
And that's what I have to be careful of.
Well, you know, and again, people also neglect to think that just because you're sober doesn't mean that you're no longer an addict. You know, like, just like they say in meetings and things like that, you're a recovering addict, and you always will be your entire life. You know, my aunt, for example, was an alcoholic, and she's been sober for 20 years now, but she still will tell you, I'm an alcoholic and I'm recovered, you know, I'm recovering. And it's a constant battle. And it's just something that you continue to face. And first off, just let me commend you for your ability to do it, because so many people, they aren't able to break the cycle. And, you know, now here you are with a business and married and children and, you know, an amazing life. So what do you think really kind of was the turning point that you said, okay, now I've got to get my shit together, and I can't keep living like this. I want to have a better life.
You know, I guess I really learned that. You know, like I was saying, I hit like a second rock bottom after I got sober, living in the homeless shelter and everything, and working, you know, really hard just to like go to a job that I hated. And, you know, shortly after that, I actually started. So once I got my shit together, I was a nanny. And obviously, like, working with children. So that's kind of where, like, my photography actually started. And I realized that I just, like, really enjoyed taking pictures, even if it was, like, just with my cell phone is kind of how I started out. Like, taking pictures of, like, the kids that I nannied. I mean, I'd throw, like, an Instagram, like, black and white filter over it, and I thought, like, you know, it was amazing. And it just made me feel like some type of way. And so that's kind of how it started. You know, but then I really was thinking that I was going to, like, I wanted to move to the beach, because I was living up in Massachusetts with this family that I was nannying for. And it, like, hit me. I was like, I'm getting older. Like, I want to, like, maybe just live at the beach for a little bit, kind of soak that up and like really get my shit together. And I moved to the beach, and fun fact, I got pregnant like 3 months after I moved to the beach. I started dating this guy, and you know, it like, at the time, like when it first happened, I was like, I can't do this. Like, you know, and I truly believe like my daughter who's like now, you know, she's getting older. So like knowing back then, you know, I believe she was put in my life for a reason to kind of, I don't know if I ever would have like gone back to doing what I was doing. I feel like I wouldn't. And I get emotional about this because I just feel like that child, you know, was really given to me, for a purpose. And, you know, not to like knock, I know that there's addicts that can't, you know, they still struggle with kids, to try to get sober. And my heart goes out to them, because I just couldn't imagine my daughter losing me. So I guess that's kind of like, you know, sorry for,
no,
for getting so emotional.
Do not apologize, because I mean, so many people face that, and it's a real thing. And you know, like people need to know, people need to be aware of the shit that's happening and you know what drugs do. You know, my biological mother was an alcoholic and an addict, and you know, my father got custody of me when I was in the second grade, because several times in my life I almost died because of because she couldn't break the cycle. You know, she wasn't able. And it wasn't that she didn't love me. It was just that she didn't know how to be a mother because of her addiction. And, you know, I applaud you for, you know, being able to know that, you know, this is more important and this is something that I have to do, not only for me now, but for my daughter. And that just shows how incredible you are and just how powerful you are, because the mind itself is a very powerful thing. And, you know, being able to put that aside and know that I have to give my life to another person, you know, and I have to give my life to my daughter and to give her a better life than you had, you know, and that's what it essentially boils down to. And, you know, people all the time just kind of push addicts to the side and don't really ever give them the benefit of the doubt. Now, don't get me wrong. There are addicts that are manipulative and users and just continue over and over and over to just say one thing and do another. But there is help out there, and there is, you know, there is a chance for people to better themselves and to get better and to have better lives, no matter where they come from and no matter where, you know, what struggles they face. So what do you think helps you? I know you said your daughter, but what really pushes you every day, because I know that that addiction is still there. So what do you think really pushes you to stay sober and to, you know, stay clean and living this incredible life?
I think that knowing, the important thing is like knowing what I have in front of me. You know, I'm not like, I know I talked about in the beginning, like being like with that horrible boyfriend. Like I have an amazing husband. Like we just got married, you know, at the beginning of this year. And like, I know so easily that everything that I've gained from staying sober from, you know, from heroin and everything, it's like, we just bought a house last year. Like I've owned my own business, you know, it'll coming up on 2 years, but like been doing it longer than that. And it's like, okay, I make good money. I've got a house. I have a husband. I have a daughter. I have another daughter on the way. Like, you know, why I have to sit there and think to myself, like, why would I do anything to like jeopardize that? Like, I don't want to lose that, you know? Cause I've been in that position, you know, like I talked about, I've lived in a homeless shelter. I don't want to go back to one. Like, I don't really know of anybody that like thoroughly enjoys one. You know, and it's just like not a place that I want to go back to. It's little things that you can't take for granted, you know, like, no, I don't have the biggest house. No, I don't drive the nicest car. I have a car. I haven't wrecked my car like, you know, like I used to. And it's like, okay. And I take care of all these things from myself, you know, right.
obviously we do it as a couple, but you know, it's like to be able to like buy my daughter things, buy myself things, like I don't want to lose that, you right. know, that kind of keeps my head on. Right. And I'm very proud of like, of where I'm at and how my business has grown too, you know?
So if there is anybody that is listening to this podcast and maybe they have struggled with addiction or maybe they're still struggling with addiction, what is something that you would tell them?
So I could say so much, but I guess like the first thing I would want them to know is like, they are not alone. You know, I feel like so many of us like struggle with it and don't talk about it and we hide it from people, because it is something that we're not proud of, you know? But I think that it's extremely important because to reach out and get help. And I know that sounds so cliche, but it's just like, it's something that you have to do. I've watched, you know, girls that were in my Oxford house. There's been 3 or 4 of them that have died, like since I've been sober. And it's scary. Like, it's not, you know, I guess telling people, which I'm sure that they already know, but the reality of it is like, you will either die or you will end up in jail. And they say that in the rooms, but it's like, so it's, there's nothing, you know, that could be more true. It's like, you know, if you want to live like a normal, happy life, you are perfectly capable of doing that. Like, yes, sometimes it takes time, you know, and no, not, you know, don't be discouraged if you tried to get sober once and it didn't work. There's people that, you know, go to treatment seven times, I feel like, before they get it. And there's some people that don't get it at all. I just think that it's super important to reach out and try to get help because, you know, me, myself, and like, you know, how many other people, like so many other people have these stories of like hope of, okay, you can get sober. I know it doesn't feel like you can right now, but you can, you know, and you can be on this other side of like not wanting to lose all these amazing things that you have, you know, but you have to reach out and ask for help and get help.
I love that. And I cannot thank you enough for sharing your story with me and for being willing to come on here and talk about your life and inspire other people. And for anybody that is listening to this, I just want you to know that you are not alone and there is help out there. If you are struggling with any kind of substance abuse and you are too scared to tell someone that you love or scared to open up to someone that you're close to, there are treatment centers out there readily and available for you. I know one that I recommend is recoveryunplugged.com. You can go to their website and they can help you with treatment. Listening to other people talk about their struggles, like we just talked about today, and just know that you are incredible and you're worthy and, you know, you have so much potential and amazing things can happen if you just put the work in and the time. So thank you again, Rose, for being on here. I so appreciate it. And I wish you nothing but amazing things and the best and your new baby girl coming. I know that's so exciting. So I know that's going to be amazing. And I'm just really excited to see your life continue to blossom and do amazing things. So thank you so much again for being here and giving us a little bit of encouragement and inspiration today.
Thank you so much for having me, Matt. And it was so nice to tell my story. So I really appreciate you listening and having me today.
Absolutely. You have been a blast. Thank you guys for listening to episode number 3 of the podcast and stay tuned for more later.